Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is great to have you company for another episode of our show today. Now, in today's conversation, I want to talk to you about something really important, that is about team retention. Now, of course, I've spoken at length for years about patient retention, but today I want to talk to you about a couple of things that influence team retention. And we all understand that recruiting in today's marketplace is a little more challenging. There's a lot of people advertising and unemployment is at a record low. There's full employment. And so trying to find people is one thing, but it makes sense that if we've got good people, we really want to hang on to them as well. So I want to talk a little bit about team retention and a couple of things that will influence that for you. Now, before I get on to a conversation about team retention, I do want to talk to you about an initiative that is really near and dear to my heart, both metaphorically and physically. Some of you will be aware that recently we interviewed Greg Page, the original Yellow Wiggle. And in that podcast, he spoke about the Heart of the Nation initiative, which he's launched. And he launched that after he'd had his own heart attack. You probably saw in the news that they were doing an OG Wiggles concert. Greg walked off stage, collapsed in cardiac arrest. Now, the good news is there was a defibrillator on site at the theater in which the Wiggles were playing. And the second bit of good news is that there was a nurse there, a cardiac nurse, who was at the show who was able to administer the shocks and CPR and other things, and Greg's life was saved. But it would not have been saved had there been no defibrillator. And since that event, Greg's been on a mission with his foundation, which is called Heart of the Nation, to find all the defibrillators in the community and to make sure that they're registered so that they become not only visible but accessible in the event that someone in the public domain has a cardiac arrest. So if you're walking down the street with your nan, your mom and dad, whoever it is, and they go into cardiac arrest, you want to know where the defibrillator is, right? You want to know that you can access it and administer CPR, including shocking the patient if needed. And so to do that, you need to be able to find that defibrillator really quickly because time is always of the essence with these things. And so what Greg has been on a mission to achieve is to find all these defibrillators and register them. And so I've really believed that as dentists, a lot of us have defibrillators in our practice, that we can all get on board with this because we can register our defibrillators and make sure that they are both visible and accessible in the event that someone has a cardiac emergency. Now, I hope, of course, that no one ever needs to use our defibrillator. That would be the happiest thing in the world. But the reality is that one day someone might. And if that's the case, I want them to know where our defibrillator is. I want them to come running in and grab it. And of course, we can then help that. So there's literally no downside to being involved with this. This is, I think, a really important initiative. There's thousands of defibrillators in the community that no one knows about. And if someone goes into cardiac arrest, then if we don't know about it, then their chances of survival are greatly diminished. And I think that we as a profession can get on board with this. And if you'd like to be on board with this, I'd love you to register a defibrillator. And you can do that by going to heartofthenation.com.au/join and register there. This is a really important mission. I don't really ask for reviews. I don't really ask for advertising on the podcast. But in this case, I am going to ask for your help, please. And if you've been a listener to the show, you'll know that we don't advertise. You'll know that we don't take sponsors and all that sort of stuff. And so if I could ask that favor of you, I'd be eternally grateful. And I know Greg would be too. Our vision is to get 3,000 dental practices registered on the Heart of the Nation. So far, there's 7,000 businesses registered, or 7,000 defibrillators, I should say, and we want to get that up to 10,000 as quickly as we can. So if you'd like to be involved with that, then please go to heartofthenation.com.au/join, and let's do this together. Alrighty, so back to retention of good team members. Now, there are quite a few hygiene factors that lead to team retention. The most obvious one is money. Now, it's not as big a hygiene factor as people might think, but we'll talk about it in a moment. Other hygiene factors include, having career development, having a nice environment to work with, aligning with core values and other things. But today, I want to talk about two key processes or ideas or thoughts that you might want to consider as you go about retaining your very best team members. Now, the first one, I'm going to start with finances first. Now, finances are not a major factor in team retention. until money is such that it becomes an issue. So you've got to pay your team enough money so that money is not the deciding factor. Now, that's going to vary from, you know, role to role, position to position, location to location. So you'll need to figure that out. But what I have observed is that motivated team members, you know, like to be incentivized. They like to hit targets. They like to do all those sorts of things. And there's another form of incentive that you can put in the mix there, and it's called stay pay. And so I want to talk to you really briefly about stay pay. Now, you would typically use stay pay when you have maybe a practice manager, an operations manager, general manager. It's usually someone more senior in the organization. And this is a strategy and a tactic that's used in lots of corporate jobs, you know, particularly around investment banking and those other places in high finance. This is how they keep their good people. So what it looks like is you've got your base salary, whatever that works out to be. And as I said, you've got to make sure that's competitive. But if you want to retain people and you want to do that through retention bonus or whatever it happens to be, the way that would work is, let's just say you've got over 3 years, you want to pay your team members a bonus of say $60,000. You might break that into three lots of $20,000. The way it works is the first year you would break down each of those $20,000 to be delivered over a certain number of years. So the $20,000, you might get $10,000 in the first year, $5,000 in the second year, and another $5,000 in the third year. So in year one, the bonus would be half of the $20,000, which is $10,000. In year two, they'd be qualifying for half of the second $20,000, so $10,000 there, but they'd also get $5,000 of the previous $20,000. And so they're going to get a total of $15,000 bonus in that next year. In the third year, they're going to get $10,000 from the year three lot of $20,000, and they're going to get $5,000 or whatever's left over for year one, and they're going to get the $5,000 from year two. So they're going to get $20,000. Now, of course, in that three-year period, they're not going to have received all of that $60,000. There's going to be a few thousand dollars outstanding, and that would be payable in the following year. Now, the reason this is important is because if your key person leaves before those years are up, that three-year time period in this instance, it means they're foregoing all their other bonuses. It means that that money that's left in the kitty does not get paid out. So they need to stay, but also you can construct the deal so that if they are dismissed on performance grounds, obviously legitimate ones, then those bonuses aren't payable either. So that's just something you can think about in your toolkit when you're wanting to retain your best people. You know, pay your competitive base salary, but think about stay pay as an option there. Think about how you can construct a retention bonus that keeps people in. It gives them the bonus they're looking for, but also means that there's a very strong disincentive for them to leave before that term is up. And that's what we call stay pay. So you have your bonuses, you figure out, you know, in this case, $20,000 a year, you know, each year for 3 years, that each of those $20,000 lots is not paid out in one lump sum, but is paid out over 3 years. So it could be 10 and 5 and 5, or it could be 10 and 7 and 3, or, you know, however you want to do it, or it could be 5, 5 and 10, however you want to structure it, right? So you want to make sure that there's always something left in the pot at the end, meaning that there's a strong disincentive or disinclination for that person to leave. So that's the first one, stay pay. The second thing I wanted to talk to you about is more about connection. And this, I think, is actually really powerful, okay? Because I really believe that once the money is taken care of, what keeps people in a role is the connection with their team members, connection with the patients, connection with the community, all those other sorts of things. So how do you create connection? Well, I want to talk to you about a coaching tool that we use with our clients, and it's called a WIFLE. And WIFLE is an acronym, W-I-F-L-E. And what it stands for is what I feel like expressing. And when we do coaching with our clients, we start every coaching call with a WIFLE. And the whole idea of the WIFLE is to emphasize the F, the feel, what I feel like expressing. And when we get to that point of expressing our feelings, what we're trying to do is to move away from a head-based or an intellectually-based conversation to a heart-based or an emotional conversation. And we want to connect with our clients in the work that we do, but in your case, with your team members, at the emotional or the heart level. And what that creates is a space of vulnerability. And if we're going to have these conversations, it's really important to try and move beyond that surface level chat. If you want to create a meaningful connection with someone, you've got to be prepared to be vulnerable. And Brené Brown, in her work, the great social researcher from the University of Texas, one of my favorite authors of all time, says that connection is what gives meaning and purpose. And the key to creating connection is to be vulnerable. And when we have these heart-based or emotionally-based conversations, what I feel like expressing, then we're going to begin to lower our guard, we're going to open ourselves up, and we're going to let people in. And when we let people in, we create connection. And when we create connection, we create relationship. And when we create relationship, we create retention of our team. It's a really, really powerful conversation, and it's a really powerful concept. And what I would say to you is there's a natural tendency for those of us who are a little more reserved. I'm fairly introverted. I'm pretty shy. And what I've been very adept at over the years is to, you know, keep my guard up, to kind of, use a very superficial type of conversation. It's almost like the frothiness of a cappuccino. It's all lovely and frothy and bubbly, but there's not much substance to it. We've got to go a little bit deeper. And you can tell if someone's giving you a head-based conversation versus a heart-based conversation when they start the conversation with, I think this or I think that. And what's really interesting is, you know, you can pull people up and say, well, that's really great that you think that and thank you for sharing that. I'm really interested in what you're feeling. And we want to create an ability and a space for us to have those conversations. And when we can create that space and we have those conversations, as I said, you're going to create connection. You're going to create connection. And again, according to Brené Brown and her research, connection is what gives meaning and purpose to human life. And that connection will create relationship. And as I said, relationship creates retention. So again, that's, you know, a second factor that drives team retention. A third factor is the ability to learn and develop. Now, in many businesses, we talk about career progression. And in a dental practice, career progression is sometimes a little bit limited because there's not a huge organizational structure. There's not like, you know, seven layers of org chart there. And so, you know, we know that career progression is a hygiene factor for team retention. But in the absence of seven layers of an org chart, what we're really going to focus on is learning and development. And so while there might not be, you know, promotions aplenty through the org chart, we can continue to invest in the learning and development of our team. Now, of course, it could be job related, which makes sense. We're going to learn how to be the best dental therapist or receptionist or hygienist or DA or dentist or whatever it is that we can be on the team, right? So there's role-specific education. That's great. But I'd also encourage you to think a little bit beyond role-specific education. You could look at communication skills. You could look at coaching and counseling skills because they're really useful in team development. You could look at even fun skills like, you know, learning to cook or doing some things like that as a group of people. So creating those opportunities to learn and develop is a really, really fundamental thing. Now, of course, when we work with our clients, we're creating lots of opportunities for them to learn and develop. And, you know, some of the things that we did when we were in Disneyland was an exercise where we had it was a game actually, and we had to have the team try to figure out what the leadership team were asking of them without any communication. And you can appreciate that it all went sideways pretty quickly. But then we learned more about communication skills. We learned more about that. Now, of course, those are role-specific trainings, but they're also life-specific trainings as well, because communication is a skill that is really transferable in all that we do. So I guess the three things that I'd really encourage you to focus on today is one that addresses the finances. We need to have that baseline pay being adequate and taking it off the table. Then if we want to retain people, yes, you can use bonuses and incentives, but you might want to consider stay pay for your senior people in your team with that structure that I mentioned to you. The second thing we spoke about was the whiffle, what I feel like expressing, and using that feeling and creating that space to express it as a means of creating personal emotional connection with each of our team members. And when we have a team that's tight like that, you can feel it. The culture is rock solid. People care for one another. People know what's going on in each other's lives, not in an intrusive way, but if someone's having a bad day or celebrating something, then we can either give them a bit of a metaphoric cuddle or we can give them a metaphoric euphoric attagirl or an attaboy or whatever it needs to be. And then the third thing that we spoke about, of course, was training and development, whether that's role-specific training development and or things that are transferable outside the practice in lieu of progression through an organizational chart. Now, if you happen to have an organizational chart that's seven layers deep and there's plenty of career progression, that's awesome. That's great. Still also include the learning and development. So, as I said, these are three things you might want to consider when you're looking to retain your very best people. Recruiting at the moment, you know, it's a tight labor market. Now, what we've found with our recruitment strategies, we've built out a very particular recruitment structure and strategy, which we call the talent pipeline. And we've found that, you know, we can still recruit good people in this market, but it still pays to retain your best people, right? It's always good to retain your best people because every time you lose a good person, it, you know, impacts your productivity. It means you just got to go through the training process again and again. And if we can avoid all of those headaches, well, then why wouldn't we? And it's really simple to introduce some good retention of team strategies into your HR policies, into your leadership structures, and so on and so forth. So anyway, I hope you find that helpful. And let me know how you go with that. And I'm keen to get the updates and see how you go once you implement it. So for now, have a great day. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.